combined. You are failing forward.
Hi, welcome to Failing Forward, the show that's a waste of your time.
And ours.
First letter in. Newly married guy just bought a condo in downtown Chicago. I'm so pumped I bought a bike to get around town. We have a community bike rack in our building with 40 bike spots. The condo association has 200 residents. So needless to say, finding an open spot on the bike rack is impossible. I originally locked my bike to the side of the rack and was notified immediately by the HOA that it was locked illegally. So I took the slap on the wrist. I went down to grab my bike to bring it back up to the condo, and I was dumbfounded to find an actual spot open on the rack. It had a rope lock on the tire rack portion, but I was easily able to put my tire over the lock and mount my bike under the rack. Fast forward to the next day, I was fired up to bike to the lakefront, only to find my bike had been physically removed from the rack and had a rather audacious anonymous note attached to the seat. The note read as following. To the owner of this bike, I commute daily via bicycle all year round. I've been doing this for 5 years. When I leave in the morning, I leave my lock on the spot to indicate that I will be returning and would like to store my bike in the same spot. I've never had any issues doing this until I returned home yesterday and saw your bike parked in my spot, on top of my lock. I'm sure you can imagine my frustration. Could you please find another place to store your bike and not park your bike in a spot that has a lock on it in the future? Sincerely, your frustrated daily bike commuting neighbor.
Go ahead, Chris, because I'm going to say something horrible.
Is this commonly known that everybody has their own space in the rack, this communal rack? Is it like when you walk into a restaurant and there's like a regular at the restaurant who always gets the same table, but it's not really his table. It's just like he assumes it's his table because he goes there multiple times a week.
Right.
He always gets that table. The owner knows him. And if you happen to get that table and he walks in and he's upset and he's like, hey, you're at my table. You're like, well, I didn't see a sign on it.
I think it's safe to say that this other guy is a massive cunt.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because it's not his rack. It's not his rack. He doesn't own the damn rack. And right. He left a petty little note, and he thinks he owns. He's got an entitled prick. So I would go the passive-aggressive route, where because I'm also non-confrontational, but I would go down there at night and slash his tires. And I'd do that every time he parked his bike there. And then eventually I'd be like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should stop leaving your bike there. It seems like someone keeps slashing your tires every time you put your bike there. Weirdest thing.
I lived in an apartment that had a community laundry room, and there'd be issues that would spring up with, you know, if you weren't there when your laundry was done, someone would move it out of the machine and you had like strangers, or they'd steal your clothes. That happened to me too. People stole my clothes.
For sure. And Chris, how long did you live there wondering if someone could be walking around wearing your underwear?
What I remember is they stole my jeans. That's what they stole. They didn't steal my underwear, but they stole my jeans.
Yeah, that guy had definitely cut him into little tiny Daisy Dukes and doing unspeakable things to them.
Right.
I'm Captain Planet, and your blue jeans have a stain on them.
I coach high school basketball, and this weekend we had a road game. The other team had two high school kids working the clock who were just obnoxious. All game long, they were trash-talking my team. Anytime we missed a shot, they said, that kid sucks. Even though we were winning basically the whole game, it didn't stop them from talking trash to my guys the whole time. At one point, the ball hit the top of the backboard after a missed shot, and they yelled, that's out of bounds, to the ref. I mumbled to my assistant coach that it can hit the top as long as it doesn't go over, then it's still in play. This drew the two kids' attention to me, and they started telling me to call better plays and commenting on my clothes. Considering I'm 34 years old and these are two 17-year-old kids, is it okay to bully teenagers as an adult?
Of course. No brainer. Absolutely. Those kids have never been put down in their life. They need to be taken down a peg.
So this isn't like a street alley. This is a school property during an actual event. There's referees and other parents. So I don't know if anything goes. It's like a fine line of what you can do as a coach. Like, he could get himself tossed.
He's a paid professional. He's being paid to be there. He's not just a civilian, right? So he could lose his job.
What you need is plausible deniability. What you do is you go over to those kids when no one else is listening and you whisper to them. You just lean in really quietly and say, your parents look so, so disappointed. And then you leave it at that and walk off. And you'd be like, I said nothing to him. I said nothing to him.
Oh, so you turn it into a adult he, child he said situation and they have to believe the coach.
Yeah.
That's a great line, Gary. I like that one. In fact, the guy, he thought of a couple lines he wished he would have said, but he didn't think of them till they were too late. So Judge Lee's, he either wishes he would have said, are you two Make-A-Wish kids that couldn't make the team? Or, I don't talk to children, but I'll be with your mom after the game.
Ooh.
Those would have been very appropriate. They're talking smack. I mean, they're inviting it. They're inviting it, so just go along with it.
I love how you call calling two high schoolers Make-A-Wish kids appropriate, very appropriate.
You know, you think back to when you as a teenager, how would you react if an adult said that to you? I think most teenagers would. The Make-A-Wish comment, I think most, you know, you make a Make-A-Wish comment, a Special Olympics comment, any one of those, like, these kids are going to crumble.
Well, I think you're considering kids cowering before adults more of our generation. Kids don't do that anymore. They're too entitled, too empowered. On the upside, kids can't really be molested anymore.
Well, firstly, are less people being molested than they were 20 years ago?
Chris jumped right back into a can of perverted worms. Well, so we're talking about kids are more empowered nowadays. They're more entitled. They're more aware. They kind of know that they're untouchable. But in that sense, they're literally untouchable. Like, kids aren't really molested anymore because they have too much social awareness and reach. So that's an upside of that generation.
But are they being molested less?
I'm not sure that's a true fact. I feel like molestation levels have stayed pretty steady all through history, I feel like. I don't know.
I'm Captain Planet, and molestation levels are steady.
My neighborhood has a lot of kids that are fairly young, like under 10 years old. The parents are never seen, and they let their kids run around and wreak havoc. Recently, they've taken the ding-dong ditching. They especially like doing it to the houses with dogs because the dogs get set off, and it's hard for my dogs to calm down when someone knocks. The kids do this several times a night, a couple times a week, and I get sick of trying to calm down my dogs. Once they stop barking, the kids come back and do it again. I tried talking to the parents, but they pretty much told me to F off, let the kids be kids. So I decided to take matters in my own hands. I found an air horn in my basement. As soon as I heard them at the door, I opened the door, blasted the air horn, and sent them screaming and running. I didn't hear another knock until the dad came later that night and was literally kicking my door, screaming at me, saying how I scared the kids. And then he said that the kids can keep knocking on his door and they can do whatever they want because they're kids. So am I the a-hole?
No.
You're letting your kids run around in the dark on other people's property, and he's getting upset about the air horn. He's lucky they didn't get bloody murdered.
Right.
So it's the thing. Ding-dong ditching is pretty innocuous. That it's like tied in with the bag of dog poop and the toilet paper, and it's just kind of part of being a kid.
So I remember, this is a universal game. We used to play this game back in London, and I don't know why. We didn't call it, what do you call it? Doorbell ditching?
Ding-dong.
Okay, ding-dong ditching. I don't know. For whatever reason, that same game in London is called Knockdown Ginger. I don't know why. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Ring the doorbell and run off. But the thing is, I can remember, I did this to a neighbor, and the neighbor caught me and smacked me around the face. But I remember thinking, fair play. I mean, I was being a twat.
Right.
So, like, if you're going to go annoying a neighbor and pissing them off, like, you got to expect that if they catch you, it's fair game, right?
That's the thing. This almost sounds like the setup for an 80s movie. It's like, oh, now we prank them, and now he's going to prank us, and just kind of escalates. It all kind of sounds like it's in good fun, so I'm kind of into this. Now it's the kid's move.
Yeah, and it's the dad's being a dick. The dad's like, my kid has the right to knock on your doorbell and be a pain in the ass, but you have to treat them like they're special, and you can't blast them in the face with an air horn. Piss off.
Well, and when those kids grow up, that's going to be one of their funniest childhood stories. So keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something they'll tell their kids about. It'd be really cool about when the wacky neighbor blasts them in the air horn. But now their story is going to be, oh, I knocked on the doorbell, then he got the air horn, and then my dad went round and told him off.
The dad ruined everything. There's no movie if the dad does that.
The kids are dicks, and the dad is an adult dick or whatever. Like, clearly it's like a family of dicks, right? Like...
When you said that, I actually had an image of, like, you know, these little penises running up the driveway and hitting the doorbell. Right. And then this big angry penis coming after him.
That's why they call it ding-dong ditching.
Ding-dong ditching, yeah. Do you know what I would do? I would up the ante. I would take it a little bit step further. So I'd get a buddy who has a van, and I'd get one of those, you know, the flashing lights. When they ring the doorbell, I'd go outside yelling, shaking my fist, and then I'd fake a heart attack, and I'd just lie there face down in the ground. And then after 10 minutes, I'd have my buddy come around the corner with the blue lights flashing, pretend to be a paramedic. I'd have him take me away. I'd stay in a hotel for like a week. I'd have some friends come around in suits to the house, pretend like they're, you know, like there for a funeral. I'd send invitations to the neighbors to the funeral. And then when they all show up to the wake, I'd jump out the coffin and be like, you little fuckers.
I'm Captain Planet, and faking your own death is a legitimate form of revenge.
Okay, this one is a business proposal. The letter reads, I'm sitting here watching NFL highlights. And I'm thinking to myself, what would it be like to get hit by a football player? So my next thought is, do I even have a way to feel that? I don't play in the NFL, so I'll never feel a hit like that. So then I start thinking I could go to a gym or a studio where I could safely get hit by an NFL or an NHL player. Maybe the walls are padded or the ground is padded. I start looking around on the Google and there's no place that does this at all. So business proposal. You can pick a player you want to get hit by and they can run a simulation on how that hit would feel on you in an actual NFL game.
Oh, no, I'm not investing in this. Like,
if this was Shark Tank, I would say I'm out and you're stupid.
Or you could like get hit by a professional boxer, take one punch.
That's true. Do you want to feel a Tyson hit?
By the way, like, you're not getting Tom Brady. I mean, the players that are going to volunteer to like work for this company are going to be like scrubs.
Well, so his business proposal is not to have actual people. It's like a machine that's calibrated to hit like that person does.
So it's like,
so you can like buy the rights to a Troy Polamalu.
It's getting even worse. But now you're not even getting tackled by a person. Now you're just going to get hit by a machine. You could run out into the road and do that for free.
But okay, but this does make it interesting. So you don't own the business. You own the machine. And it's like you sell the machine like you'd sell a mechanical bull to a bar.
That's even worse. So it's getting worse. So now you actually got to buy the machine to own it. And hopefully that you find enough interest in getting hit by this machine over and over to get your money's worth.
You rent it to bars like bars have mechanical bulls.
Well, and the key word here is bar, because this is a drunk guy activity.
Yeah, it's a drunk guy thing.
Like, this is perfect for Vegas.
And then you could, like, you know, for $5, like, everybody watches the guy get slammed to the ground. The bar goes and erupts in laughter. I could see you'd make, like, you could make a couple $100 a night.
There's a guy in Vegas who for $20 will let you kick him in the balls as hard as you want. He just watched the strip.
Seen that, yeah. Seen that guy.
There's this whole segment of men, and it might even be the majority, who are just overconfident in their abilities.
Right, right.
So they just need to kind of scratch this itch.
They're both winning me round to this idea now.
Yeah.
It could be a thing, like the mechanical ball where you got to stay on the damn thing.
Right.
This could be, you got to stand your ground and not get knocked down when this thing like pops out and like hits you in the chest or whatever.
And how much fun would it be to watch some guy, you know, stand on stage and like the red light would start twirling around like, here's somebody signed up for it, like everybody would want to see
everybody,
like,
watch,
you go, like, you know. And then you'd watch some guy get creamed.
Well, and then to add on top of that, this is a bigger business plan. It should be a whole thing of like, you do a certain like NFL combine, like 40-yard dash, the cone drill, catches, just to see if you like catch up, if you can like level up to an NFL player. Like, do you have more skills than just getting hit?
It's too nerdy now. You're making
it's too much. That's too much. It's too much. Stop.
You overthought. Yeah. You over-engineered it. It needs to be.
You ruined it.
I'm Captain Planet, and you ruined it.
Okay, and our last thing. On Reddit, the top trending post for one day was, if you could go back in time and give 3 words of advice to your 13-year-old self, what would you say?
Buy Apple stock.
The financial thing is the right answer, but by far, the number one answer was this very specific advice. Don't date Jessica.
What?
And tens of thousands of men had upvoted that comment. They all agreed with it.
Even, presumably, Jessica was a massive bitch, but it's those kind of awful relationships that build character. I'd say do date Jessica. Just,
it might not build character. It might be billing child support right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you took it in a more broad, in a broader sense of like, women are going to take your money, whether it's Jessica or whatever woman you're involved with, don't get divorced.
There's a precedent for this. I think about it. Jessica Simpson dated Tony Romo. His career was over. Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba, drama queens. Jessica Rabbit, well, she was doing a bunny.
I think Jessica Biel is a sweetheart. I don't think she's a drama queen. I think Justin cheated on her. I think she's cool, actually, Jessica Biel.
So I've always actually had a theory, and this is why this resonated with me, that women, that girls with 3-syllable names are kind of hot messes compared to girls with 2-syllable names. Like, you don't want to take a Vanessa home to mom, but you do want to take a Megan home to mom.
You do want to take Megan?
Megan can cook.
There's a problem with Megan, though. Does anyone know an old Megan?
No, but we haven't got there yet.
did Megans die early?
Does anyone know a Megan over 30? Don't exist. Who's Harry's wife? Prince Harry's. Is that Megan?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, she ain't long for this world.
I don't know if I'm on board with Chad's two-syllable theory. I'm not sure about that.
Okay, well, I maintain that if Romeo had met a Julie instead of a Juliet, that story does not end in a mass suicide.
I'm Captain Planet, and my mom hated Juliet.
Okay, well, this has been Failing Forward. If you have any questions for terrible advice, email us at failingforwardquestions@gmail.com.
All right.
The power is yours!
That cat sitting there licking its butthole right now, again, the most consistent member of the squad.